You are listening to the ICW Safety Sound Off audio series.
This is Giovanni here at ICW Group. We would like to welcome to the program Senior Risk Management Consultant from ICW Group, Jose Gutierrez. Welcome, Jose.
Hello, hello, everybody. Good morning.
You have a webinar coming up pretty soon on outdoor heat illness. And I see that you had a lot of experience in the agricultural industry in Central California. Can you just tell us a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, I've been in the industry about 28 years, 23 of them with the State Fund, which is the state's workers' comp system. And I also worked for Western Growers, which was one of the largest independent agricultural organizations promoting agriculture here in the United States, in the Western United States. And so I worked a lot closely with farmers and growers and shippers, and as well as the harvesting employees themselves. You know, agriculture is the largest industry in the state, so that's why it's really important that we know about it and support important policyholders that are involved in the agriculture industry.
Yeah, with agriculture, it's a lot of outdoor work in addition to, let's say, landscaping and construction. Any other industry?
Yeah, it's construction, landscaping, oil extraction is another large industry where they're impacted.
And, you know, one of the elements for outdoor heat illness prevention is having access to water. Can you just briefly tell us the importance of having water on the worksite?
Well, you know, the employer, one of the first things that they have to do is make sure that they have enough water for all their crews. So say, for example, at a minimum, they have to have, you know, to 2 gallons of water per person per day. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have 2 gallons for every person on there at the start of the day, but you have to have a way of replenishing the water. So the access to water has to be potable, has to be good, clean drinking water at no cost to the employee. It must be maintained at all times. Sufficient quantities must be pure and cool. It has to be enough to provide, again, 1 quart of water per employee per hour, so for the entire shift. So the water has to be accessible. It can't be a half mile away. It has to be with a reasonable distance, and it has to be where the crews are located. And so it can't be, you know, people ask me that question, does Cal OSHA specify how far the water has to be? Actually, no, they don't. They just basically say it has to be close to where the workers are and reasonably accessible. So, and it has to be fit to drink. And that's one of the things that I do when I go out to the fields. I like to use the word nosy, but I've been corrected until it's inquisitive. I like to be inquisitive and just kind of get out there and look at the tanks themselves. Sometimes I'll open them up, make sure that water is nice and clean, and then it's not going to get contaminated.
Since OSHA doesn't have a set distance of how close the water should be to employees, do you have a suggestion of?
Yeah, it should be within a reasonable amount. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, no more than 75 feet, 100 feet. It has to be accessible for employees. But what a lot of my policyholders are doing, they're actually, the problem is when you're harvesting, and it all depends on the kind of harvesting that you're doing. But if you're harvesting traditional, like with strawberries or something, well, you're constantly going back to the trader where the water is at. So that's not a problem. The problem becomes where you're moving through a field and your employers will generally keep on at the traders where the restrooms are located. That's where they keep the water. Mm-hmm. And so if you're on a harvesting machine, the harvesting machine is processing or going through the field and that water starts to become further and further away from the employees. That's where the problem lies. The employers need to make it reasonable. They need to move those traders around maybe to the other side where the crews are at. So what a lot of companies are doing is that they're actually attaching to the harvesting equipment itself, their water containers, and that's probably one of the best ways to address that problem is to attach the containers, the water igloos, or whatever you want to call them, attach them to the equipment itself if you're processing through a field. So say if you're in a celery, pardon me, if you're on a lettuce line or a green leafy line, you want to make sure that the equipment where the people are working at the water is right there. It's within a few steps they can grab a cup of water and drink it.
And we're talking about any moving vehicles that are out in the field like that.
That are processing through the field. Yeah, that are processing through the field. So, you know, a lettuce harvester, it's going to have a crew of people, maybe 10 people, 12 people on it. And the people, as they're cutting and harvesting and packing in the boxes, the equipment's processing through the field. So what I'm saying is that the best way to address that is to actually have the igloos or the water containers on the equipment itself, so the employees can at any time, whenever they want, just grab a cup of water and drink it right there. Okay. Without having to go all the way back to the trailer. And that's one of the things that the employer can think about. So the employers can do a lot of things, but they have to just kind of think the process through what's going to work for them.
Let's talk a little bit about the quality of water. Should it be at a certain temperature?
Yeah, it needs to be cool. You know, it can't be out in the sun, directly in the sun. It should be at a moderate temperature. You know, it has to be a clean, cool, portable drinking water. So, again, it can't be in a container when it was all directly out in the direct sunlight and the sun was hitting it. So I've had employers ask me, hey, can I keep it in, 1 gallon jugs and that are clear, and can I put them out there in the sun? So, well, no, that water is going to get hot on you. So yeah. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you have a good igloo style or a good thermos that's going to be insulated and will be able to keep the temperatures down. Also, you want to try to shade the water as much as you can too, so the containers themselves, so that's not directly in the sun.
How about the use of ice?
You know, that's a lot of my employers are doing that. I noticed that a lot of them are actually have ice machines, and what they do is they in the morning they'll fill their waters up, maybe 2/3 or almost to the very top, and then they'll put ice in it when they know they're going to be in hot conditions. And I noticed many of them have their own ice machines, which is a good idea, but it's not mandatory. CalOSHA doesn't say that you have to have ice in the water, but it does say that it has to be cool. So it's up to the employer to find a way to maintain that water to make it be cool. Generally, you want to treat the workers the way you'd want to be treated. You wouldn't want to be drinking hot water, you know.
How about alternatives to water?
Are you talking about alternatives to waters like a Gatorade?
Yeah, like Gatorade or Powerade or some other.
Those are generally not recommended. I don't recommend them. And I'll tell you why. Because of the high sugar content, and some of those have caffeine. They're caffeinated, So what they do, they dehydrate you. They're the kind of beverages that can actually cause you to actually urinate more. Because of that, it's actually recommended that the employers not do that. I have a policy currently is handing out a Gatorade, and I know they're trying to be nice, and that they got want to give the employee something else, but I said, hey, well, how about giving also making some water available, some nice bottled water available as well, because we're trying to discourage the use of caffeinated drinks that can dehydrate you and high sugar content drinks is just not a good idea. Water's it's pure, it's clean, and it's relatively inexpensive to buy good quality water, so why not just provide them with good drinking water?
Where can they replenish water from? If they need to replenish it out in the field, where do they do it from?
Well, generally, that's what the employers need to do. They need to have a plan in place. In other words, if you're going to have a crew of 100 people, you would technically have to have 200 gallons of water for that 8-hour work period. So most employers are not going to have 200 gallons of water accessible. So in their plan, they have to have a written plan where they address that at some point during the day, they're going to be replenishing water by either an additional personnel, a supervisor, a foreman coming out and bringing more water to the crew, or they're going to exchange coolers. They're going to swap out the empty coolers and put in full ones at midday. But they have to have a written plan, and they have to have a procedure in place to make sure that there's always sufficient amounts of water, and that's something that the employer needs to address for themselves and figure out how their plan's going to work.
So they can't just replenish the water from like a garden hose or anything.
No, it has to be potable. It has to be a good drinking water, good water that's been sanitized and cleaned. There has to be drinking cups, that's from the field sanitation standard. There has to be drinking cups, and they have to be disposable. They can't be reusable. They can't have like a common cup that's tied to a chain that they're all drinking from. I can't do that. That's a big no-no. It's unacceptable. There has to be individual disposable cones the employees can drink from.
Join us next time on our next Safety Sound Off audio series as we enhance our lives, protect our health, and help each other create a culture of safety.